You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken, we trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading. Today, we are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Welcome to the program. Today is the 22nd day of March 2021. It is a Monday. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827, and the chat room is open at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. So today we're going to be going on through part two of Holy Priesthood, chapter six, Holy Priesthood, volume three, chapter six. And I've entitled this The King and Queen of Heaven. We'll be reading from pages 87 through 91. And anybody who wants to call in with any questions or comments about this topic or anything in Mormonism, really, you can call in that call-in number, 917-889-8827. Before I get into this and dedicate the program, I just wanted to thank everybody for all of your prayers for what happened yesterday. So as many of you know, I've been sick for, 2 weeks. I mean, it was really bad for a week, and then I've just had residuals. Well, on Saturday night, I went to drive my semi-truck, and I had sharp stabbing pains in my lungs. And that was only for a little bit, and they went away. So I was like, okay. Well, I got home about 7 in the morning, went to bed around 8, and woke up about noon. And I had, it felt like Charlie horses in my upper back or in my lungs. And my little 12-year-old daughter came over, and she, like, stuck her elbow in my back and rubbed it around, trying to rub out the Charlie horses or whatever was going on. And that calmed me down enough to where I could go back to sleep. I woke up around 4 p.m., and I was having a hard time breathing. I had a lot of pain in my lungs, my upper chest, and my neck, and every time I moved, it just was excruciating, and every time I breathed, it hurt, just everything hurt. Anyway, so in all of the years that I've been married to my wife, which is 9 years, this year in July it'll be 9 years, I have gone to the emergency room twice. I forgot about the one time I went before. I got into a fight in Springville, Utah, where I was sucker punched by a guy at the Flying J truck stop, and his pit bull, like, jumped up and grabbed me by the arm, and this guy's punching me in the head, and I'm punching this guy's dog in the face to get it to let me go. And then when the dog finally let go, I just went to town on this guy. And it was kind of funny because I was just defending myself. But I've learned through sad experience that if anybody ever starts a fight with you, you can't be nice. You cannot let them up, because if they can still walk, then they can get up and hurt you some more. And I've been nice in the past, and I've let guys up. And I was a wrestler in high school, so when I fight, I know how to take people to the ground. And unless you're a wrestler too, I mean, there's not a lot you can do. I've fought guys that were huge, like taller than me. You know, I've been in hundreds of fights throughout the years, not because I wanted to, but because I was defending somebody or defending myself. And anyway, so I pretty much decimated this guy. I didn't kill him. But when the police came and the ambulance came, everybody said, you know, all these people witnessed it and it was on camera, that this guy sucker punched me, because he sat on my stuff. It was in the chair next to me, and I was like, dude, get off my stuff. And he intentionally did it. And then I stood up to, like, get my stuff to move it, and he just sucker punched me and then started going to town and hitting me, and his dog was helping him. And anyway, the manager of the Flying J said, wow, I've never seen some guy beat up a dog and this other guy, whatever, and he's going to the hospital and you're not. Well, he was going to the hospital in an ambulance. And I feel sorry for the dog, because they probably took the dog to the pound. This guy was passing through. He was, I don't even know why he had his dog in the stupid truck stop. But anyway, I had to drive myself to the hospital, and I got, I don't know, CT scan or something. Like, it was just stupid. But anyway, so that's the only other time I've been in the emergency room for me. I've been in the emergency room for my kids and for my wife multiple times, but I don't usually go. Anyway, but it was so hard to breathe and so much pain, I decided to go to the emergency room because I didn't know if I was having a heart attack or what was happening. Turned out the EKG, I think is what it's called, like, my heart is fine. They did a bunch of tests, my kidneys, my liver, they're all fine, everything's fine. They did a chest x-ray, they couldn't find anything. Well, I don't know what they were looking for, but I asked them if there were clots, if they could see them on the chest x-ray, or if it was cancer or something. And he said that they couldn't see clots on the chest x-ray. So I went to the medical clinic in Emory today, and they did a bunch of blood tests, so I'm waiting for them to come back. when they gave me the injection of lidocaine and whatever other cocktail they gave me to try to make the pain, like, slow down so I wouldn't suffocate or whatever, all of the pain, like, relaxed, all my muscles relaxed, and the only pain that was left was a spinal injury that I had back in 2001, so 20 years ago. I got hit by a semi-truck when I was in my semi-truck. And I had an empty trailer, and he was a bobtail, no trailer, just a tractor. Speed limit was about 55. They said that he had a bad combination of medication in his blood system. Now, it took him 3 hours to cut his dead body out of that truck. Though I'm not glad I was the one that was hit, I'm glad that it wasn't a car that was hit. But I had this clicking in my back where I'd get tight after that for years and years and years. And then I was driving a dump truck up by Jeremy Ranch going up to Park City, and I hit this bump, and I hit my head on the top of the truck, and it really knocked me out, but it was pretty bad. Anyway, so I went home from work that day, and I laid down in my bed and just went to sleep. When I woke up, I was laying on my back. My covers are completely over the top of me, and my left and my right arms from the shoulder down are completely numb, asleep, not even able to move them at all, which freaks me out. It took me 4 months to get my left arm to work again through physical therapy, and it took me a couple of weeks to get my right arm to work again. And ever since then, I've had, every time my back gets inflamed because I'm working too much or I'm lifting up too much weight or whatever, my hands still go numb, and they have nerve pain. So I don't know. I've never had this experience where I couldn't breathe before, but they were thinking maybe it might have something to do with the nerve pain. So I don't know. They say I'm really healthy, though. So very well hydrated. My heart is doing a great job. My kidneys and my liver are fine. My oxygen levels were good. And they don't know what was causing this. They think it might be blood clots in my lungs. But I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait for the tests, and then they'll do other things. But I am still in pain, but it's not anywhere near as bad as it was. And then because of the trauma that I went through, it just knocked me out. I was so tired last night and all today. I did not want to go to the medical clinic today. All I wanted to do was lay in bed and sleep because I am tired. But, excuse me, but I'll be fine. And thank you. Like I said, I'm so grateful for all of the hundreds and hundreds of people that prayed for me and sent me messages and just prayed for me. I really do believe in the power of prayer. And I was joking with my wife that I should have waited to pray so we could find out what the problem was before they prayed it away. You know, but hey, if God heals me, that's great. And then if he doesn't want to heal me because I need to go through a mortal experience, then I'll do whatever. You know, I'm not going to judge him based on what he does for me or doesn't do for me, but I do believe that the power of prayer does work, and I'm grateful that they didn't find something that's worse, you know, like a heart attack or something. So, all right, I'll dedicate the program, and then we'll start on pages 87 and read to page 91, and then and then we'll read the first page of the next chapter as well. So, O God, the Eternal Father, we come to thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We ask thee, Father, to forgive us of our sins and our transgressions, that we may have thy Spirit to be with us. We love thee, Father, and we thank thee for the plan of salvation and for Zion's redemption in the future. We desire to be tools in thine hand to bring about the kingdom of God on the earth and the full restoration. We love thee, Father, and we ask for thy blessings to be upon us as we dedicate this time unto thee, and do so in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, even Jesus the Christ. Amen. From ancient history to the present time, there is a continuous record of the most exalted station of women. Among men and among the gods, she holds a rightful place and an equal portion, even to holding and sharing the blessings and right ways of the holy priesthood. But she is not to be worshipped. And we talked about this before. In order to worship, in the true Hebrew sense of worship, means that you bow down and humble yourself before your king. And in order to worship truly, you keep his commandments or his instructions. Well, how are we to worship the mother who does not give us commandments and instructions? We do not worship the mother. Now, the mother and father being one, we can honor the mother by hearing and worshiping and obeying the father. That's how we worship the mother. The greatest revelations and manifestations assuring us of a mother in heaven were revealed in the last dispensation. However, none of these instructed us to pray to her or to worship her. As Orson Pratt clearly explains, quote, if we have a heavenly mother as well as a heavenly father, is it not right that we should worship the mother of our spirits as well as the father? No, for the father of our spirits is at the head of his household, and his wives and children are required to yield the most perfect obedience to their great head. It is lawful for the children to worship the King of Heaven, but not the Queen of Heaven. The children of Israel were severely reproved for making offerings to the Queen of Heaven, although she is highly exalted and honored as the beloved bride of the great king. Yet the children, so far as we are informed, have never been commanded to pray to her or worship her. Jesus prayed to his Father and taught his disciples to do likewise, but we are nowhere taught that Jesus prayed to his heavenly mother. Neither did he pray to the Holy Ghost as his Father. And quote The Seer by Orson Pratt, page 159. The Lord's Prayer was given us as an example of how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. This prayer clearly directs us to pray to one person, our Father, and ask for his masculine and singular will to be done. Another excellent example showing to whom we should direct our prayers comes from the popular poem or hymn Invocation, wherein Eliza R. Snow addressed her Father in heaven, quote, O my Father, thou that dwellest in the high and glorious place, when shall I regain thy presence and again behold thy face? And that's just part of that hymn, but that was in LDS Hymns, page 139. I'm pretty sure it's not there in that same place anymore since they decided to move things around and whatnot, but Oh My Father is a very, very, very good poem, let alone hymn. It's so wonderful. Anyway, once again, our Heavenly Father is the only one being addressed, and certainly Eliza learned about the Godhead and how to pray from her husband, Joseph Smith. In the third stanza of this hymn, she acknowledges the existence of a mother in heaven, but yet she is not praying to her. Though we have not been directed to pray to our mother in heaven, she probably has much more to do with us and our salvation than we perceive. More and more is being revealed or discovered to support that ideal. From an early Christian writing found recently called The Pearl, several quotations give us further light on this interesting subject. Dr. Hugh Nibley relates the following comforting passage from The Pearl, quote, the Christian comes to earth from his heavenly home, leaving his royal parents behind from a period of testing upon the earth. Then, having overcome the dragon, he returns to the heavenly place, where he is given a rousing welcome. The first person to greet him on his return is his heavenly mother, the last one to embrace him as he left. To go on down to earth, Old Testament and Related Studies by Hubie Nibley, page 90. All I want to do is go to sleep right now. I'm so tired and my body hurts still. So I can't wait till I'm done with this. But if anybody does have any questions or comments, you can call in. So I won't turn that off. But when I get done to the reading, if nobody has called in, then I'm just going to end it. We're about 45% done with the reading today. So, all right, let's see here. Not only is Eve mother of our mortal bodies, but also our spiritual bodies, as explained by Brigham Young. Quote, and Eve, our common mother, who is the mother of all living, bore these spirits in the celestial world, and then this earth was organized by Elohim, Jehovah, and Michael, who is Adam, our common father. Adam and Eve had the privilege of continue the work of progression. Consequently, came to this earth and commenced the great work of forming tabernacles for those spirits to dwell therein. End quote by Brigham Young and L. John Nuttall, Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 19. Certainly our mother Eve is very concerned about the comings and goings of her spirit children on this mortal earth, as this is an important part of her stewardship. Recently, a midwife in central Utah had a spiritual experience during a rather difficult home birth. During the brief moment of serious concern for the safety and arrival of the baby and wanting a special guidance, she silently asked Mother Eve, please let your mind be my mind and your hands my hands. She immediately knew what she needed to do, and her hands felt as though if they were being guided by a greeter's hands than her own. How could there be anything improper in such a sincere petition? With all due respect that we should have for our mother in heaven, there is still a definite order and pattern regarding regarding the roles of men and women in this world. And so it is with the eternal world. In summary, then, I wanted to say something real quick about that guiding of the hands and praying to Heavenly Mother. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying to Heavenly Mother. If she speaks back to you, you need to make sure and get a confirmation of the Spirit that it's really from her. Because demons can appear as an angel of light, and it's just, I don't even know. I do know, but I've had experience in the past where I've had people try to present to me revelations, and I knew that they were prophets of God, but the things that they were saying in the revelations didn't have the testimony with it. So I would like tell them, hey, you need to get these, of course, but you need to make sure that the voice you keep saying is from God, not from man, and not from a bad spirit. You know, because we can fall by following after bad spirits. Oh my gosh, I am so tired. I'm sorry, everyone. The drugs they gave me yesterday knocked me out. And I went to Walmart to pick up the prescriptions. And I was like, nope, I'm not taking that. Nope, I'm not taking that. So, anyway, so I'm not even on medication right now. I don't know what my problem is. But let's get back into the reading. And I'm sorry for the subpar performance today. Number one, the scriptures inform us that Eve was taken from man, a part of him, through a figurative description, although a figurative description, it still denotes the pattern for male and female relationship and status that exists on this world as well as the worlds to come. Number two, Jesus gave us the example and said to pray to our Father in heaven. If it was correct to pray to our Heavenly Father, Mother, if it was correct to pray to our Heavenly Mother, he would have said so. Number three, and you know what, just because he didn't say one thing or the other doesn't mean that you can go to one side of the argument as authoritative. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Oh, my gosh. Number three, praying to a mother in heaven was never part of the teachings or examples of any of the ancients or latter-day prophets. Number four, praying to a mother in heaven for a female goddess originated as a pagan rite and was never part of the worship of Israel. And I could say with authority that there's truth that these rites, these pagan rites, they take from the truth and then they turn them into something else. So just because whatever is pagan in origin, from our perspective, it's actually on the other side of it, it's true doctrine. They knew that there was a mother in heaven and people perverted it and they got kicked out of their churches and they went into the wilderness and they became something else, you know. So, wow. I just need to read the words and be done with it because I am dying here. We're on page 91 if you're reading along. According to scripture and revelation, sufficient respect, reverence and devotion can be offered to our Heavenly Mother without praying to her. And then chapter 7 is church offices, and that'll begin on page 92, and I'll read one page real quick. Appendages to the priesthood. According to the Doctrine and Covenants, church offices are appendages to the holy priesthood after the order of the Son of God or Melchizedek priesthood. There are in the church two priesthoods, namely the Melchizedek and the Aaronic, which includes the Levitical priesthood. Why the first is called the Melchizedek priesthood is because Melchizedek, which was such a great high priest before his day, it was called the Holy Priesthood after the order of the Son of God. But out of respect to our reverence to the name of the Supreme Being, to avoid the too frequent repetition of his name, they, the church, in ancient days called the priesthood after the Melchizedek, or the Melchizedek priesthood. All other authorities or offices in the church are appendages to this priesthood. D&C section 107, verses 1 through 8. So anyway, that's the end of the program. We don't have anybody in the studio, so I'm going to be done with it today. And go back to sleep because I am dying tired. I don't know what my problem is. My lungs still hurt. That ball of pain is still there, but it's doable and breathable now. So I'll take it at that and get back to you tomorrow. Thank you for listening, everyone. Take care. God bless and goodbye.